This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It is Thursday, and this is 1320 WILS, 32 at the moment. We're going to go down to a low of 25, and then everything changes. Tomorrow, a high of 49 with a low of 40, and then, well, then it's Saturday and Sunday. We're going to have sunny skies up in the 50s. Hooray. Every year, 250,000 Americans die because of medical errors, third leading cause of death in this country. My next guest is a renowned neurosurgeon who retired from that career and is now a malpractice attorney. Dr. Lawrence Schlachter is with us, author of the new book, Malpractice, A Neurosurgeon Reveals How Our Healthcare System Puts Patients at Risk. Dr. Schlachter, great to have you on WILS.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure being here. And thanks for talking about the book.
This is quite a change in career. How did you end up deciding I'm going to go into malpractice law after a really successful career as a neurosurgeon?
Well, what happened to me is I played baseball as a hobby. I used to actually play on a hardball team into my 50s, and I traveled around the country and played in tournaments. And I was playing in the Boston Red Sox spring training camp, and a guy hit a line drive that broke my hand, and I had to stop operating. So that's how I kind of got into law. I never would have gone to law school but for that injury.
Jeez, that sounds... Well, what's that like when you've got this career and you're really at the top of the field and an accident like that happens?
It was horrible. I was very depressed, and I went from being the chief of neurosurgery to being a patient overnight.
Wow. And there was no way to fix your hand in a way that you could continue surgery?
No, not the big surgeries that I was doing. And so I had to look for something else to do, and I could have done literally anything else. And I just started going to law school for fun at night, and it turned into finishing and passing the bar and a real interest in patient safety.
Now, did you have, as a doctor, did you see these kinds of mistakes, and do you have concerns about that issue then?
You know, I did. I used to sit on the executive committee at my hospital, and I saw a lot of what went on at my hospital, but I never really had the exposure that I got until I went into law, because then my exposure was what happened everywhere else. So yeah. I got a much bigger view of it.
Yeah. And what did your fellow doctors think about you now becoming a malpractice attorney after being on their side?
Well, it's interesting how many of them actually treat me fairly well and understand what I'm doing, and a good number of them actually support me quite a bit because they can't do what I'm doing, and they have the same concerns. And then there are others who just don't like it because it's like shining a light under a rock.
Talking to Dr. Lawrence Schlachter with us, by the way. His brand-new book is Malpractice. Shining a light under a rock, is it really that dank under there?
There are lots of things that go on that the public doesn't see. And unfortunately, when patients are injured in the hospital, they oftentimes never find out what happened.
When you say things go on that we don't see, like what's happening at our hospitals?
Sometimes, you know, firstly, let me say this, that most of the time the care is excellent. The doctors are dedicated, the nurses are dedicated, and things work pretty well. But when things don't work well, there's not very much transparency. For example, let's say that I had a case recently where a doctor came in to do a consult, and he never looked at the x-rays. He just relied on what some other doctor wrote in the chart, but he never looked for himself.
Is that common? Is that a common practice then?
Not amongst good doctors. Most good doctors actually look at the images on scans that pertain to their specialty. I mean, I wouldn't expect a neurosurgeon to go look at a chest x-ray.
So what was the concept? He didn't look at the scan. What happened because of that?
What happened is the lady developed severe swelling in her brain and died, and she could have been saved.
Okay, because of what he would have seen in the scan had he looked on it, you're saying?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was told to her family in that case?
The family was told that she had a condition that got worse. She had a brain tumor, And the family, you know, figured out what was going on, but not from the doctor who came and did the consult. She died, and the neurosurgeon who came in to see her said, "Well, it's too late. I can't help her." Mm-hmm. So once they heard too late, they knew something wasn't right.
It was a clear cut that she would have lived otherwise. There was actually death because of this one mistake.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because what, he could have given her some kind of medication, or what was it he would have done?
Oh, she needed a surgery to take out what was a benign non-cancerous brain tumor, and she more likely than not would have lived. Like a 95% chance that she would have came through it okay.
Okay, so I'm confused now. So she needed surgery, and why would she refer to the doctor? Was it not to have surgery? Or?
No, she came into the emergency room with a headache, had a scan that showed a lot of swelling. Uh-huh. The consultant came by and didn't look at the scan, and waited 2 or 3 days to get an MRI. And by the time they got the MRI scan, she was basically comatose. And then the surgeon came and said, "Gee, I wish you called me 3 days ago."
Wow. So how much, by the way, Dr. Lauren Schlachter with us on WILS, his brand new book, Malpractice. How often then do hospitals begin to lie to the families?
They're not exactly lying. They're just not telling them what happened. So I see this all the time, where there's not a transparency, where they don't go to the patient and say, you know, "We're really sorry that something bad happened. We made a mistake." They hardly ever do it.
So how do you begin to figure out that something has been done incorrectly or the mistake's been made?
Well, for me, it's kind of simple, because the patients, they know something's not right, but they don't know what it is. So they wind up going to a person like me to figure it out.
Okay. And as a patient, what should you look out for as signs that maybe they're not telling you everything?
Well, what's really important is that a patient be a shareholder in their own care. They need to ask, you know how little kids say, "Why? Yeah. Why this? Why that?" That's what patients should do with their doctors. They should have conversations where they say, "Why are you doing this? What are you thinking? What did the test show?" You know, for example, some people wind up getting an important test at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and they don't want to wait till the next morning to find out what it shows, because maybe it shows something that needs immediate attention.
And how do you get them to show you the test then?
Well, you just want the doctor to say, "I looked at it and here's what it shows." Mm-hmm. You know, you want an answer. You don't want to see the test yourself. You just want an answer.
No, when you were a neurosurgeon, how would you react when patients were aggressive that way?
Well, you see, when you use the word aggressive, I would use the word appropriate.
Yeah. Or assertive. You know? Let's use assertive.
Yeah,
assertive. As a doctor, how did that affect your view of the patient?
Okay. Well, I viewed the patient as a customer, and I was providing a service. That's one way to look at a patient, and I would take it the right way, and I would find out the answer to their question and sit down with them or call them on the phone and answer their question.
Is that the kind of reaction we should expect from our doctors then?
I think you should. Now, if you don't, you got a problem. You know, if a physician is arrogant or unfriendly or unkind, you know, maybe that's not the doctor you want. Now, the patient needs to understand that, you know, the patient is usually fearful, they're intimidated, they're afraid, mm-hmm. you know, and they don't need to attack the doctor with the question. They need to have a congenial conversation and give the doc a chance to answer the question.
Most of the mistakes you see, by the way, Dr. Lawrence Schlachter with us here on WILS, most of the mistakes you see, are they carelessness? Are the doctors exhausted? What's the cause for all these mistakes?
Yeah, you know, the answer is yes to all those things. And sometimes it's the system that's wrong. Sometimes there's a shift change and a failure to communicate. Sometimes the doctor's overworked and things just get forgotten and they don't have enough help. Sometimes it's just pure, absolute negligence. For example, not coming in to take care of an emergency within a reasonable period of time. you know, things like that. Now, I do want to tell the listeners where they can get the book, if I might.
Yeah, please.
They can go to Amazon.com and Google or search malpractice with my name, or go to Barnes & Noble, or go to my website, which is schlachterlaw.com.
Schlachterlaw.com. The spelling is S-C-H-L-A-C-H-T-E-R. We're talking to Dr. Lawrence Schlachter. His book is Malpractice, A Neurosurgeon Reveals How Our Healthcare System Puts Patients at Risk. Now, as a doctor, did you ever face any malpractice suits yourself?
I did. I had one or two.
Now, what's that like when you're going through that?
It was kind of unpleasant. You know, I felt like I didn't really do anything seriously wrong to get sued. In my case, you know, every case is different. You know,
Is that typical? I mean, I guess most doctors would probably feel that way, right? In any kind of malpractice environment.
I wouldn't say so. I think some of them know that they really did something wrong, and they probably feel ashamed about it, and they got caught.
Ashamed, wow. And the shame comes from what?
Knowing that you didn't do your job right.
And typically then, you said it's a combination of things, but are they overworked, or they just get so confident that they don't really cover all the details? Is that what happens?
Well, how about this story? How about a lady that I have a case right now where a lady came to the emergency room at midnight, and she was having trouble with her neck swelling because she had surgery. And it took the doctor 9 hours to come in to see her. And by the time the doctor came in to see her, her airway had occluded and she suffered severe strokes and brain damage from lack of oxygen. And this guy had hours on end to come in, and he just didn't do it. Now, you can't say he was overworked. He just didn't investigate carefully enough to come in soon.
In an emergency room, you'd think someone would attend to you within an hour or two maximum. Nine hours. That's incredible to wait.
Exactly. So, you know, when you say, is the doctor overworked? Not in this case. No.
Yeah. Learn a lot more in the new book, Malpractice, A Neurosurgeon Reveals How Our Healthcare System Puts Patients at Risk, and what you should do if you feel that you're in a situation where your health is at serious risk. Dr. Lawrence Schlachter, Dr. Lawrence Schlachter here on 1320 WILS. Dr. Schlachter, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Have a good night.
You too.